It's a delight to be with you again this evening. We appreciate the visitors who have come our way. Some of you I have heard and known by name only. Brother McClure, I have studied from his writings and have known of him for a number of years. It's a pleasure to finally meet him. Others, it's a joy as well. It's been a wonderful week for me thus far. It seems to be rapidly coming to a close. But we have had, I believe, some good study of the Word of God together. I have benefited from this, and I told you in the beginning that I'm not an expert in this. We are opening our Bibles together, and we're seeking to study together from the Word of God, because it is something that we all need. Being committed to the Lord is that which is absolutely essential if we are to enjoy heaven after a while. It's been a great pleasure to be with Mickey and Donna. I've been enjoying the week. We've had many opportunities to talk. Unfortunately, one of them was this morning from about 12 to 3 in the morning. He and I were suffering a little insomnia together, so we had a good visit about that time. But other than that, it's been a great week, and hope that you will open your Bibles, follow along. And I'm kind of old-fashioned. I like to hear the rustling of the pages as you are turning. I know that with the electronic age, that doesn't always hold true. But we hope that you will give your undivided attention. We're going to be talking tonight about seeking things from above. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2, or 1 through 4 rather, the Apostle Paul says, "If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall we also with him be manifested in glory." I appreciate the comments already made regarding the relevancy of this topic to our general theme this week. Certainly, we need to realize that we are seeking things above. And this is a progressive, a continuous action as we serve the Lord from the time that we were raised to walk in newness of life to the time that our spirits will be separated from our body. And so we hope that we may be able to delve into this chapter a little bit and notice some points that I believe are profitable. One of the first things that we see is understanding what exactly what the word seeking is. I just looked it up in the dictionary. It simply suggested the striving for something that is desired or important. Now, people strive for things which are good and or seek things which are good, and they seek things which are bad. But the things, whatever their heart is desiring and whatever they consider to be important and interesting in their life at that time, people are going to be seeking. God is telling us, He is focusing our attention as people of faith, that we've got to be seeking those things which are above. And so it's important then that we realize that in our responsibility to the Lord. Basically, according to Philippians 2 and verse 22 or 21, we either seek one of two things. We either seek regarding ourselves, regarding what is our own interest, or we seek those things which are of God. Now, that pretty well, according to that verse, divides our seeking basically into two categories. We seek those things which are our own, or we seek those things which are of God. And I suggest to you that it is a constant challenge as God's people for us to ever be mindful that we have to humble ourselves, we have to deny ourselves, and we have to be seeking those things which the Lord wants us to seek. Denying ourselves, perhaps, is the greatest challenge that we have. I don't believe our time will ever be wasted as we are seeking to study and understand and realize the practical application of what all is involved in my life and yours as we seek to deny ourselves in regards to our service to the Lord. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Him. I would suggest that that is something that will require a great deal of thought and prayer and study, and we cannot drift away from those things. We must give all the more diligence to those things which we have heard. Seeking, we understand, the world seeks many things. The unbelieving Jews, the Apostle Paul said, they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. He says, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking a righteousness of their own, they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. There are too many people who are seeking after a righteousness of their own. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 10 that if we seek the things of men or the favor of men, we shall not be a faithful servant of the Lord. We cannot seek the favor and the glory of men. In John chapter 12, Jesus spoke to those Jews who had believed in Him, but further examination says that they did not confess Him for fear of being cast out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory of man more than the glory of God. And so people seek a lot of different things, and a lot of things that they seek are those things which are wrong. Paul said he did not seek the favor of men when he came to Thessalonica and worked there. But that, of course, suggests that many people do seek the favor of men. And unfortunately, those who claim to be preachers and teachers of God's Word, they are tempted and they are swayed regarding that very thing. Or someone else who seeks too. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. The success of the devil's seeking will depend a whole lot upon our seeking. If we take to heart the lesson that the Apostle Paul is presenting here in this particular text tonight, then the devil will not be successful at his seeking. That's one of the points that we want to suggest. Let me move on to the second point regarding this particular text. It necessitates a right relationship. If we are going to seek the things that are above, Paul here is addressing a particular category of people. He, of course, is not talking to people who are of the world, those who are wicked, who have no faith, no interest, no concern in the things that pertain to spiritual values and in preparing for eternity. He's not talking about those people, of course. If then you have been raised together, if, that's a big if. The word if is an important word in Bible study. It suggests the condition. And God's blessings are often conditional, especially as it concerns forgiveness, salvation. We are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. We are saved by grace through faith. Grace is the divine part, the divine favor, unmerited favor of God. Faith is man's response to that which has been revealed, given to us through the Holy Spirit by the Holy Spirit through inspired men, and that which we now have in the pages of our Scripture which we are studying tonight. And it is through the hearing of God's Word that faith comes, Romans 10 and verse 17. We are saved by grace, divine side, through faith, man's side. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, Not that man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has afore prepared that we should walk in them. We have sought to emphasize throughout this week that God has given and sacrificed and done everything in regards to the preparation of our salvation and our eternity in heaven. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, Paul said in Romans 8. Well, there's many things that can't, but one thing that can is my own stubborn will. And when we choose to neglect the things of God, when we choose not to heed the conditional nature of God's demands, then we will not receive His blessings. Verse 1 here says, if you have been raised together with Christ. Those are whom He is talking to. They are the ones who are to seek the things which are above. It is our hope and prayer as we have studies and schedule gospel meetings such as this that there are people who attend our assemblies each night who need to learn of God's saving grace. They need to learn of their condemnation in sin and the redeeming blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for your sins and mine. You need to learn of the gospel of God's grace, of His love and grace and mercy, and that through the resurrection of His Son from the dead, the victory and the assurance that is given, to know that God will raise us up spiritually, forgiven of our sins, and to anticipate that time in an unknown period of time, when the Lord will come again and we will be raised up, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And if you are in our audience and you need to give thought to those things, it is our hope and prayer that you will. And make the decision even tonight of your need to have a right relationship with the Lord. If ye were raised together with Christ. Back up in Galatians chapter 2 and notice verse 20. Paul says, if ye died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why then are ye living in the world? Do you subject yourself to ordinances, handle not, taste not, nor touch? He goes on to say in verse 23, which things are indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and severity of the body, but they are not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. In one's coming to God, in one's obedience to Christ, there is the dying. And it's interesting here, and frankly, I didn't notice it till just recently in my study. But first of all, Paul addresses the fact that you died with Christ. And then in the next section, chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, then if you were raised together with Christ. The gospel process of conversion is that of dying to Christ. We die to sin. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. He says in another place, in chapter 1 up there, in chapter 6 also, that he has been crucified unto the world, and the world unto him. There is a dying to sin that is involved as one comes to faith and genuine repentance out of godly sorrow. A heart that is willing, out of godly sorrow, to turn in a different direction. And through the process of gospel obedience, there is the dying. And then there is the burial and baptism, and then there is the resurrection, the raising up, which we primarily are giving our attention to here in Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you were raised together with Christ, That's what Paul is talking about in Romans 6 and verse 4, talking about being baptized into Christ, wherein you were raised from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. How wonderful. That's what they're being raised here that's referring to in Colossians 3 and verse 1, as I understand it. You are raised as a forgiven individual. You are now a child of God, ready to walk in newness of life. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3 and verse 26. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. How do we enter this relationship of being in Christ? As many of you as were baptized into Christ. And Paul said it also in Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4. We are delivered out of darkness and translated into to the Son of God's love, according to Colossians 1 and verse 13. And so that is the being raised together with Christ that we are talking about. Those who have obeyed the gospel, they have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And they are now in Christ, where every spiritual blessing is found. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Another thing that we observe here in our study of this particular text, of seeking things above, it requires that we prioritize our life. Because he says in verse 1 that we are to seek the things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind upon those things which are above, your affections, I think as the old King James says. Set your mind. We use the expression mindset. God is telling us here that there is a special mindset on spiritual things that is required. This is involved in our seeking those things which are above. Ezra set his heart upon studying the law of God and learning it, making the application of God's law in his life, as well as to be able to teach statutes and ordinances of God's law to Israel. But you know what the key thing that made all of that a success? He set his heart to do it. Just like Daniel resolved in his mind or his heart in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Just like if you and I are going to prepare ourselves and sanctify, or if we are going to prepare ourselves and to give an answer to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, to make a defense for our faith to those who ask us a reason concerning the hope that's in us, then we are going to have to sanctify in our hearts Christ as Lord. We cannot put the cart before the horse and expect to be those shining lights that are going to be able to be influential in taking the gospel to the lost if we are not converted to Jesus Christ ourselves. Sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. All of that requires prioritizing our life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, he talks about feigning. Several years ago, I had the unpleasant fortune or experience of actually fainting. I had never fainted before. And that, of course, was an unpleasant experience. And maybe that's what you think of when you read this word faint. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, Paul said, "Wherefore we faint not." The word faint here means to lose heart. It means to do the very thing that we've been talking about or warning about all week, presenting ourselves in an apathetic way rather than being committed to the Lord. But he says, "Wherefore, We faint not, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. I mentioned to you just rather humorously that it seems like the older I get, the easier it is to find things to talk about with people my age. We begin to talk about our arthritis and our bursitis and all of our aches and pains and all of that. We've got something a whole lot better to talk about than that. Paul said the outward man is decaying, but the inward man is renewed day by day. The discussions that I've been a part of this week have been a spiritual shot in my arm because we have been discussing things spiritual, and that is greatly encouraging, uplifting to me. And Paul is saying here that though, you know, the course of time is going, you know, it's going to take its toll upon this body, but we are growing spiritually. Our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. We may suffer just a matter of years, but we are striving toward that eternal weight of glory. What a contrast. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. That's why we must prioritize our life to look at those things which are eternal in nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We are not like the people of the world who the only thing that they can believe in is that which they can sense with their five physical senses. We walk by faith. We, as Paul said, are looking at those things which are unseen. We have a mindset on the spiritual. And our first priority is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We cannot be like the world, brethren. We cannot allow our hearts to be sunk into the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life to the point that there can be no visible distinction noted between us and the world. That's not what we're about. We are seeking after those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Have our priorities in order. This is following the example of Christ, is it not? We are told that we are to walk in His footsteps. He has left for us an example that we should walk in His footsteps. I'm not quite sure if we've already studied this in a previous study, but I do want to observe with you regarding this example of Jesus. For herein too, it says in verse 21, were ye called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that ye should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But what did he do? He committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. What we're talking about this week is following the example of Jesus. We are committing ourselves to God, to the will of God, following the example of our Lord and Savior as He left it for us to walk in His steps. And in spite of the temptation of Satan to take the easy way out, Satan said, I'll give you the crown before the cross if you'll bow down and worship me. We cannot take the easy way out. We follow the example of our Lord. We bear our cross daily. And then the hope and promise of God is that we will receive that crown to be with our Lord for eternity. We need to adopt David's perspective in regards to priorities. A wonderful passage of Scripture to study, Psalms 119, regarding the value of God's Word in our life. But David said in verses 14 through 16, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now you let that sink in. And contrast it to the way of thinking that is so common in our world today. People are doing everything unimaginable, inhumane, wicked, base thing that they can do to one another or to themselves for money, for the riches of this world. David says, I have rejoiced in the way of God's testimonies as much as in all riches. In other words, the appeal of the riches of this life, well, they had no appeal. The things of value to David were the testimonies of God's Word. He says, I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget it. I will not. If we give the more earnest heed to the things that are heard, then we will not drift away. Another point that we observe in this study of seeking things above is that our refuge is in God. We are hid with Christ in God. That's what verse 3 says, as God's people. It suggests a place of refuge, a place where our strength in time of temptation may be gained. We are those who walk with God. We have fellowship with God as well as with one another. Our God is our refuge, and it is in Him that we find the strength. When we are tempted by our adversary to do the very type things that he tempted the Lord to do. And again, the example of our Lord was to respond to those temptations by saying, it is written. The power, the knowledge of God's Word in time of temptation. That's one of the powerful ways of escape that God gives us as we face temptation. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, not mine or not yours. Let us not make the mistake, as we have talked about the 10 unfaithful spies. They came back to Moses and they said, the people over there are giants and we are as grasshoppers in their sight, in our sight, and so will we be in theirs. What was their mistake? Their mistake was they had no faith. They were looking at themselves. They were not looking to the God who had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, who had divided the Red Sea, who had taken care of them in the wilderness. They were saying, we are but grasshoppers. I can't do this. Can't, never could. Our strength must be in the Lord. If we have God as our refuge, we will have our grace in time of need, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. That we may find mercy to help. Mercy and grace in time of need. The older I get, the more impressed I am of God's grace and His mercy. The expression we hear people sometimes say, but by the grace of God. I don't know if they're thinking very seriously about it when they say that. But I want you to know it is but by the grace of God and His mercy that any of us will spend eternity in heaven. in our refuge, we have peace. A peace that Paul said, rather than to be filled with the anxiety that is characteristic of this world. You ever see people that just worry all their life? They ruin their health. They ruin their life. Worrying about things they have absolutely no control over. In nothing be anxious, Paul said, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Where does the peace of God come from? Look at verse 9, where it says, the God of peace shall be with you. He is the God of peace who gives us the peace of God. The world does not understand it, but it will guard our hearts and our thoughts in Christ Jesus. We also have contentment in the refuge of God. We do not have to live life pursuing material things and living a life of love for money and material things. The expression of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, where God's people can take heart because of our fellowship with God. With good courage we say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? Skip back up to verse 5, I should have read that first. He says, be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as you have. For himself hath said, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. Be content with the things that you have. That's possible only because of our trust in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, I have learned how to be abased and how to be abound. He says, I have learned in all circumstances to be content. I can do all things in Him that strengtheneth me. Now that's the same Paul and the same faith that's described in Galatians 2 and verse 20, where he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. For the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith is what we're talking about. Seeking things which are above through the eyes of faith. And then, of course, our forgiveness. God is not slack concerning His promises, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. As men count slackness, but is long-suffering to you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not wish anyone to be lost in sin. The Calvinistic doctrines notwithstanding, God wants us to come to repentance. He so loved the world, and that's everybody, that He gave His only begotten Son in John 3 and verse 16. He commended His love to us in the giving of His Son in Romans 5 and verse 6 through 8. He made it possible through the blood that was shed on the cross, through the life that was given as a substitute for mine and for yours, that our sins might be taken away. And only through Jesus could that have been accomplished. Only by that means and that will and wisdom and purpose of God could God remain a just God and at the same time a justifier of sinners. It was by the blood of Jesus who knew no sin, and yet He gave His life, the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. And He did all of that so that we might go to that place of glory, as it is described there in verse 4. The hope that we hold as God's people. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested. What's He mean by that? When the Lord comes again, the second coming of Christ. Then shall ye also with Him be manifested in glory. That's the hope that we have as God's people. There's a beautiful passage of Scripture in Hebrews 11 as it talks about the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it begins in verse 13 and it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own." That's our hope. This is not the place where we are seeking. We are seeking a place of our own. We recognize as God's people that we indeed are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This world is not our home, as we sing. But we need to not only sing it here, we need to sing it in our hearts, and we need to live it in our lives. As strangers, as pilgrims on this earth. But look on in what he says in verse 16. "But now they desire..." Well, let me back up. Verse 15. "And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out..." They would have had opportunity to return. The Ur of Chaldees that Abraham was called out of. We talked about the power of human will. If Abraham had wanted to go back, just forfeit everything that God was trying to work with him and through him, he had that choice. But it says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." God's prepared us a city. Jesus, "I go away," He said, "prepare a mansion. If I go not away, I would have told you. But we have those mansions that are being prepared, a prepared place for a prepared people. We need to show our faith and trust in God. And a necessary part of that is always, daily, seeking those things which are above, where Christ is. Having that mindset. Making that priority. That we are going to glorify God in this world. No matter what. No matter what. Whether it gets tough, whether it gets rough, whether everybody around us is criticizing, mocking, in opposition. God tells us that those things happen. I have found no justifiable reason for anyone ever turning their back on the God, on our God. "Be thou faithful all the way to the end, that we may receive that home." Thank you so much for your attention this evening. If you are here this evening and you are in need of being redeemed by the blood of Jesus, then make that known as we stand and sing the invitation song just a minute. And we will take this time in order to make this invitation, extend this invitation, and if it is your desire to obey the gospel, Come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of your sin out of godly sorrow from your heart, turning your life from sin to God. Make the good confession of your faith verbally that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you've not been true to your commitment, come back. If the prodigal son teaches us anything, it teaches us that the Father is there with open arms, ready to receive. If we come to our senses, like the prodigal did, and return to the Father. If we can help you in any way this evening, we invite you to come while we stand and sing for your encouragement.